They bless our church. Well, this morning, I want to talk about getting on mission. Get on mission. And it's the second sermon in our series for such a time as this. Did anybody enjoy the fast this week? Only laughing. One hand raised. Did anybody lose weight this week? it was a good time, and you know, I loved our Wednesday night service. We had a worship and prayer night, and it was just fantastic. And then also, you know, I just want to say this. It was the day after some people stopped the fast, Thursday morning. I want to recognize the women's Bible study that they had healings take place in their Bible study. Yeah. God is moving. You know, and I shared this morning with some of the ministry team, the leaders, and different people that are here early, that we've been praying for lots of different stuff. One of those things, though, is that we don't want to just see people coming from other churches to our church. We want those churches to be blessed. What we really want is people to get saved and discipled. And we're starting to see that in our church. Families coming and getting saved, people coming and getting saved and baptized. And we're excited that God is moving. And he's moving here. And so we want to make sure with all of that, that we too get on mission. And I'm going to do a little bit different of a sermon style this morning than I am used to. And I'm going to be honest with you, I fought it because I'm kind of a systematic person. I like doing things how I like doing them. Is anyone else like that? but I tell you that because God likes to stretch all of us. He likes to stretch all of us. So this is your pastor being uncomfortable and being stretched. And if you don't like it, well, then you can take it up with the Lord and put your request in with him. But so let's open up with prayer this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. God, we just take a moment and we say, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. We thank you that we get to be a part of the things that you're doing in this valley and in this church. And we want to say, we want to declare as a church this morning that we will step into all the things that you're calling us to. Lord, we ask that you renew our hearts and our minds, open our eyes, open our ears to receive your word this morning. And just, Holy Spirit, have your way in everything that we do. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, you guys ready? Amen. Well, I usually like to release you to amen and hallelujah as much as you can or want to. The Spirit gives you utterance. Sorry, that was a Bible joke. Amen. But we want to stay on mission this morning. Stay on mission. As we start getting ready, that's what we're looking at. We're staying on mission. Have you ever been in a conversation that should have been 3 minutes and it was 30? Or have you been in a meeting that could have been an email? Or in a sermon? Well, we won't go there. But the point is, if we don't stay on mission, it'll take longer to get where we're going. We don't stay on mission, then sometimes we won't get to the finish line at all. So if you're going through something, if you want to see something, or if you just want to see this sermon finished, say, get on mission. Get on mission. Now, the passage this morning is in the book of Judges. It's one of my favorite books. You're welcome to turn there. Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. And today we're talking about a man named Gideon. And his background is quite the story. It's where God is taking a nobody and calling him a somebody. He's taking a scared man and calling him a mighty warrior. And out of that, we realize that God calls us as well to who we are meant to be. And he puts us in places to become that person. But today, we're looking a little bit after that part of the story, where the rubber really meets the road and Gideon's mettle is tested. Because watch this, God is calling him in this story to go into a valley and destroy the enemy. And I feel like as people of a valley, we can relate to that this morning. We're called to go in and destroy the enemy in our valley. Amen? Oh, that should have got some amens. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So whether you feel like you are in a valley and need help, or you have caught the vision to take this valley, there are valleys to be taken this morning. Let's get on mission as we read Judges chapter 7. We're going to read the whole chapter. Now, some people like that, some people don't. But if you haven't read your Bible this week, after today, you can say, I read one chapter. I read one chapter of the Bible this week. It's a great place to start. It's a new year. Judges chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you, and of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and he shall hear, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley, as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand of the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand, God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. Then he divided the 300 men into the three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand for blowing. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled. With Achaia toward Zerara, as far as the border of Abel-Mehalah by Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh and pursued the Midianites. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout the mountains of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and seize from them the watering places as far as Beth-Bara and the Jordan." Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Beth-Bara and Jordan. And they captured the two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. I can take a breath now. That was a big passage of scripture, but it's important. Well, you want the whole context of a scripture when you're reading. So I encourage you, when you are reading, read a whole chapter, read a whole book if you can. But Gideon had a specific mission, and that was to help set his people free. It's the same mission that we are called to today. And in order to do that, Gideon had to overcome some things in himself, just like we have to do as well. And we're going to get into that more later. But in our mission, just like any mission, there is timing, there is dependence, and there is risk. We have many men and women here today that have served in our armed forces, and we like to thank and honor them. Yeah, we can do that this morning. And I'm sure most of them would tell you that those three things are involved in any operation. Timing is key. Preparing and what you depend on is crucial. And there is always risk involved. So let's jump in here as we get on mission. That first thing we're going to look at is timing. And like I said, I usually go systematically through a scripture, but we're going to jump around a bit, so bear with me. We're going to look at the timing of this passage. In verse 1, the first thing we see is that it was early in the morning. And I think we can gather some things from there, as in, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. You can get a lot accomplished by just getting up. And that could be some of the people work at night. Some people start working in the middle of the day. Whenever that is, get up and go for it. Let's not waste our time. Whatever that thing is that is taking your time, set it aside. It could be social media, TV, books, sleeping too much, lack of focusing, lack of planning. Whatever that is, it's a new year, a new day. Let's start setting that aside to make sure we have time for the Lord. The choices we are making right now are leading you to the place you're going to be. So I ask you, do you want to be the same person tomorrow that you are today? Is that who you want to be? In verse 3, it says, announce now. And this is in the context of pride. It says prior to that, so that Israel may not boast against me. The first thing God does is to deal with our pride. Because pride separates us from the Lord. Our pride says, I'm okay how I am. Or I can wait another day. I'm strong enough on my own. Or when God does a miracle, it's our pride that starts to try to take credit for what God does. And when we do that, it pushes God away. Church, the battle can't wait. Freedom can't wait. So it says to announce now. Act now. Timing is important. Watch this. Tomorrow will always be there if that's where you think the battle is. The battle is in the present. The battle is happening now, and you've got to decide now to prepare for the battle you might already be in, and the one that is going to come tomorrow that God already knows about and he's preparing you for. Timing is important. We get on mission. In verse 7, the Lord says, I will save. God sets our eyes forward on him. We set our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But he says, I will save. And you know, I grew up in the 90s a lot. And in the 90s, a really popular thing was WWE wrestling, early 90s. And I was not allowed to watch this. But I saw the commercials. I had friends that were into it. But on these commercials and different things, the part that I remember most is a guy coming out and saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. And he just kept saying what he was going to do. But in that, he was making sure that you know who was going to get the glory from what was about to happen. And church, God is telling us what he's going to do. We have to make sure he gets the glory. Verse 9 says, during the night. So earlier we said getting up early, now we have during the night. And sometimes it's going to take a little bit more than you're used to. Occasionally, there's going to be some early mornings and some late nights. But church, are you willing to make a little sacrifice when it's with the Lord to see a victory won in your life? It might take a little bit more than you're used to, but it is worth for victory. It is worth it for victory. We've got to be ready to go at any time. 2 Timothy 4:2 says to be instant season, in season and out. Church, my favorite moments with God probably often happen when I don't plan on them. When I don't plan on them. Sometimes God shows up, watch this, when you don't want him to. Has anyone experienced that? When you're busy or you're in a place or with people that you don't want to be with, God suddenly shows up. But watch this. Think about this. God chooses when he comes into a room. He chooses when he comes into a room. And I like to imagine him just flinging wide the doors of our church even right now. If God walked into the room, if he walked into this room, shouldn't we stop everything to honor him? And that's how we should live our lives. And that's going to mess up some plans. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with God messing up your plans? I like to tell our staff, whether I'm preaching or leading worship or whatever, I plan it one way and I hope God messes all of it up. That's the hope. Like, here's the plan, Lord, please mess it up. But church, some of my favorite moments, best ideas, songs I'm writing, I've lost sleep over. Or I've had to choose to spend time with the Lord instead of doing something else. And I think that not only honors God, I think as a father, he's just happy that you're picking him over whatever else it is. Say, my son or my daughter is choosing me right now. I'm going to honor them with my presence. I want to be with them. Randy McPherson likes to tell a story of his brother getting dreams in the night for compound bows and different bows and stuff, and now they're worth millions. But I bet some of us here are not willing to get out of bed and write something down. Would you rather sleep than have the Lord speak? Would you rather? What are you missing? What are we missing, church? Verse 13, Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. There are divine appointments that are meant to bolster your faith. God gives faith Are you willing to take it? Verse 15, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. God has already declared some things in your life that you need to go out and take. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to read that scripture again. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. He's talking to Gideon. God has already declared things in your life, church, that you need to just go and take. Verse 19, Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle of the watch. God's timing is perfect. The 300 men got there just after the guards changed. And these men did not hear the dream that was stated earlier that would have put them on higher alert. They probably would have been sleeping before this. No matter how crazy the plan sounds, when you follow God, he will see it through. Verse 22, when the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other. The Lord responds to your faith, your trust in him. James 5:15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he shall be forgiven of them. The next verse, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God wants to move. He promises it in his word. That's why when we share testimonies like in the women's Bible study that people are getting healed. Church, that should be the norm. What do we expect? Do we expect God to move? Are we watching for it? Do we want it? Are we willing to be in God's timing? Because God is ready to act, are you? To see this valley saved, to see the prayers that you've made, raise your faith. Let's get on mission this morning. When we choose to step into the timing of the Lord, we then look at what we depend on. What we depend on, our dependence. That's number two. In verse 2, the Lord instructs Gideon, gives him some instructions, and they were a surprise to Gideon. Have you ever been there? A surprise. God is saying, do this, and you're like, why? Why? That sounds bad. That sounds like a bad idea. Or the opposite of that, God gives you plans and you bring your plans and said, this would look better. This would work better. I mapped it out. We got any mappers in the room? If you just do this, Lord, I promise you, it will work great. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Lord has to remove all the grounds for boasting in our life. Because watch this, he protects us with dependence on him. I say that again. He protects us with dependence on him. Gideon is already outnumbered with his full army there. It's not the size of your fight or what you alone can bring to the table. It's just God. It's just God. So you take your situation, your problem, whatever you're in, and you say, just God. It depends on God. I'm going to do everything I can, everything that the Lord tells me to do, but I'm going to depend wholeheartedly on the Lord. So the Lord asks Gideon to let those who might be fearful leave. Church, fear is contagious and destructive. And God is going to take, or at least wants to take, people out of your life that aren't good for you. Let him do it. Let go of that friend or that person that is bringing you down or leading you away from the Lord. Let it go. And then Gideon has 22,000 people leave. And you thought you had friend problems. And they were outnumbered before, and now they were left with 10,000. And God says, that's still too many. We often don't realize how much we depend on ourselves. On ourselves. God is bringing our dependence back to Him. We don't always know how it's going to work out. We just know that God will work it out. God likes us in some ways to be a little bit carefree. When you don't have clarity, you just have confidence. Let's say that again. When you don't have clarity, you just walk in confidence that the Lord is going to work it out. In verse 4, the Lord says, "I will sift them for you." And that word sift means to refine, like metal or purging, getting all those things out of you that need to be removed. But watch this, the root of that word also means to fuse together, like metal together. The Lord is bringing you into unity with those around you, with the body of believers. As He purges you, He joins you. As He purges you, He joins you together with the body, because together you are strong. He does that to accomplish what He has for your life, for this church, and for this valley. We're getting on mission. Together we can accomplish anything that the Lord has called us to accomplish. We can accomplish it all. It's for such a time as this, to get on mission. In verses 7 and 8, Gideon kept 300. And that word kept means to take fast hold. It implies that maybe the 300 wanted to go. Because it's used again in chapter 19, verse 4 of this same book, when it is to hold a man against his will. And that makes sense because they started with 32,000 men, which was already too small. And then they're down to 10,000. And they probably thought at that moment, you know, we need a miracle. But now we're down to 300. God brought their dependence level from we want God to move to we need God to move to we're going to die if God does not move. And that is where God wants us to be. Where our total dependence is on God. Church, is that how you pray? Where your total dependence is on the Lord. This only works if God moves. God responds to that prayer. And watch this, the 9,700 men that just left, they gave their provisions to the 300. And those were the trumpets that would confuse the enemy. And those were probably the pots that they would empty and contain the torch that they would shatter and stun and shock the enemy. God had prepared the needs of the few by those who had already left. God does more with less. When you feel like things are going wrong, God is preparing. He prepares you for a miracle by creating more dependence on Him. When you feel like there's no way out or through, God has already prepared a way. And watch this. He's getting you out of the way so you can see it. Sometimes He's getting you low enough so you can finally look up to see there was a way all along. Verse 9 through 14, Gideon's faith is wavering. You ever been on a roller coaster of faith? I think that's life sometimes. But the Lord says to him, if you are afraid, God knows when you are afraid. He knows it. And Gideon is left with, get this, less than 1% of his army. Less than 1%. Sometimes we feel like that with our finances, right? Here I am again, Lord, less than 1%. And God is getting him into a place of breakthrough. What you think is a letdown is just a setup for breakthrough. And that preaches well. We've heard that before, but it is true. The Lord tells him to bring his servant Purah, however you want to pronounce it, And this is probably his armor bearer, the guy who fights alongside him, his wingman. And the Lord tells him, you will be strengthened and encouraged. The men hear the dream. And it is his friend, the armor bearer, that says in verse 14, this is what commentators think, it is the armor bearer that gives the translation. This can be nothing but the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. This is your moment. Take it. The friend gives the interpretation. The Lord wants to put people in your life to encourage you and to keep you accountable. His friend calls him out by name. This is who you are. This is your moment of action. This is our time. You need people like that in your life. You say amen to that? But watch this, church. This is gonna sting. If you don't have community, if you're not in community, you won't have it. If you are not friendly, you won't have friends. If you stay away from people all the time, you refuse to be a part of an active church, except for on a Sunday morning, then you're not living how God wanted you to live. We're fused together. God intends and wants to encourage you, to keep you accountable, but he does this through people. Through people. So join a small group. Join our men's and women's ministries, our Bible studies, our mom's group. See your life changed. I promise you it will. We get on mission. Verse 13 and 14. Gideon is referred to as a round of barley bread in the dream. This was a staple food of the poor. So in the dream, even God knows Gideon is poor. You know you're poor when the Lord says, yeah, you're poor. You got nothing left. But it doesn't matter who you are or what you have. God has a plan to take a valley, to take your valley, to take this valley. And in the dream, the bread comes tumbling into the camp and knocks the tent over. It overturns it because that word tumbling means to overturn. God will use whatever means he decides. That's you and I and whatever else to overturn the enemy in your life. The enemy in our valley. You can walk into a valley. You can walk into this valley like you own it because God has declared it done. Now, 300 swords against tens of thousands is not a lot. But they're depending on the Lord. And their main weapon here is noise and light. Noise and light. But all at once, they shatter the jars, revealing the torches, and light scattering all the darkness. They blow 300 trumpets surrounding the enemy, and the trumpet was a war cry, so they sound like this mighty army. They declare it's time for a battle, and then they give a war cry. They shout, and they are a small but unified group. A small but unified group. And it's that group that causes confusion in the enemy ranks. And the enemy turns on and destroys itself. Church, it doesn't matter how big or small we are. We can cause confusion in the enemy ranks this morning. When we come together, we begin to worship, we begin to outreach to our community. It's going to cause confusion in the enemy camp. Sometimes you've got to make some noise. Zechariah 4:7 says this, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Joshua 6:20, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Sometimes we've got to shout it out. Sometimes we need to shout because it does something in the spiritual realm. But sometimes we need to shout because it does something in us. It increases our faith and it confuses the enemy. Verse 22, when the 300 trumpets blew, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other. When God shows up, the enemy panics. And that is the normal. That is normal. That's why in Matthew 8, 28 through 34, Mark 5, 1 through 20, and Luke 8, 26 through 39, we see where Jesus heals the demon-possessed man. The demon recognized him. The enemy recognizes the power and presence of God, the power that you carry, the presence that you carry with you. Make sure you recognize that power, the authority that you walk in as a son and daughter of God. This valley, your valley, belongs to the Lord because he has declared it and his presence is entering into it. And where he enters in, the enemy is confused and scattered. God is on our side. We have to get on mission. So we step into the timing of the Lord. We set our dependence on the Lord, and then we take the risk. Of course, many of you might be thinking, there is no risk in the Lord and with faith. And for the super Christian, that might be true. But for us regular ones, we recognize that there are risks involved. What do I mean by that is Paul got to where he was going, but he had to go through a shipwreck to get there. Following Jesus costs you something. It could cost you everything. It cost Gideon his comfort, his little cave or house thing that he was living in, whatever that was, but he was trying not to bother anyone and trying not to be bothered by anyone. But that is not who you were created to be, mighty warrior of God. That's not who you were created to be. Gideon had to deal with fear. The first stream he stopped at, the translation of that name, Herod, is the stream of trembling. There is risk involved. Growth doesn't happen without a little pressure. In verse 12, the enemy is seen there. And it says that they are like locusts, innumerable. Have you ever been in that situation? You are overwhelmed and you do not know what to do. Gideon could easily count his lot, and they did not match up. Do you ever do that with the Lord? You show him the numbers and say, this does not work. This does not work. But in God's kingdom, the numbers more than work. In fact, they are perfect. Because watch this, 300 equals tens of thousands in God's kingdom. So when you feel like there's not enough, there is. And when the numbers don't match, they do in God. And in verse 15, Gideon does this. He worships. He worshiped before the battle took place because he worshiped knowing that the Lord would provide like it had already been done. He worshiped. In verse 18, we recognize that God's plans are often unorthodox. They're unorthodox. Nothing in Gideon's plan made sense. He sent away all of his men. Then he's going to surround the enemy with this few number of people. And they didn't even have a sword in their hand. They had a torch in one hand and a trumpet in the other. And then they're going to blow the trumpets, letting the enemy know where they are. And then, to top it all off, they're going to yell at them. Because words hurt. They didn't have enough men to even pursue the enemy. So if the invading army realized what was happening, they could easily overtake Gideon's small group. But watch this. God had the other men in waiting, the ones that had left. When they got the call that God's people are on the move, The enemy is retreating. The others came running because watch this, your breakthrough is going to catch on with other people. And the people that didn't stay, that didn't wait for a breakthrough, for the enemy to be conquered, are now getting to experience the victory of Christ through your breakthrough, through Christ in you. And they get to take the valley as well. They get to receive and reap the blessings of God in you. So don't stop. Don't stop fighting. You're fighting for the valley that you're walking through. You're fighting for the valley that we live in, but you're also fighting for those around you who are going to see breakthrough when you get yours. We get on mission. Your victory is shared with all the people around you who will also come in the time of need. Because that is a church. That is this church. The church that will win the valley. Let's get on mission. I'm going to invite the worship and the prayer team to come forward. I'm going to ask if we could stand up all across this place. And I want us to dig deep this morning and let the Lord speak. Where are you at right now? Are you struggling with waiting on the timing of the Lord? And you need to submit to his lead? Are you struggling to depend on him only, or letting pride get in the way, or has stopped you from being who God has called you to be? Or maybe you are in the fire and you are being sifted and you are being purged and you need prayer, you need encouragement. Or maybe you are fearful of the risk and you need to pray with somebody right now. For any of these things, I'm going to welcome you to come down and receive from the Lord this morning. Or if there is any other need, healing, provision, deliverance, and salvation in Jesus' name, I want to ask you to come and receive it. Go ahead and come down if you need to pray this morning. And even if you need to shout it out in victory this morning, I'm going to welcome you to do that. And in fact, right before they start singing, I'm going to ask to do that as a church right now. We're going to shout out like Gideon's army did and declare to the enemy that you will be in confusion because God's presence is coming into the situation and into the valley. Do you want God's presence, church? Do you want God's presence, church? Well, on the count of three, just shout it out. Shout it out in victory. Shout it out because Jesus is here and his presence is going to overcome the enemy. One, two, three, shout it out. Jesus! And let's just begin to worship and praise because God has a plan. And no matter what it looks like, we're going to follow it in and take this valley for Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.